Chapter 13, Hose Operations and Hose Streams. Welcome. Tansy. Essentials of Firefighting. Chapter Objectives. Describe methods of supplying water for firefighting operations. Describe methods used to deploy fire hose. Describe methods of advancing hose lines. Differentiate among types of hose streams and nozzles. Explain how to operate different types of hose lines, nozzles, and master stream devices. Skill Sheet 13-1, Make soft sleeve and hard suction hydrant connections. Skill Sheet 13-2, Connect and place a hard suction hose for drafting from a static water source. Skill Sheet 13-3, Deploy a portable water tank. Skill Sheet 13-4, Make a hydrant connection from a forward lay. Skill Sheet 13-5, Make a reverse hose lay. Skill Sheet 13-6, Advance a hose load. Skill Sheet 13-7, Replace a burst hose line. Skill Sheet 13-8, Extend a hose line. Skill Sheet 13-9, Advance a charged hose line using the working line drag method. Skill Sheet 13-10, Advance a hose line into a structure. Skill Sheet 13-11, Advance a hose line up or down an interior stairway. Skill Sheet 13-12, Connect to a stairway or improvised standpipe and advance an attack hose line onto a floor. Skill Sheet 13-13, Advance an uncharged line up a ladder into a window. Skill Sheet 13-14, Advance a charged attack line up a ladder into a window. Skill Sheet 13-15, Operate a charged attack line from a ladder. Skill Sheet 13-16, Operate a smooth bore or fog nozzle. Skill Sheet 13-17, Operate a small hose line using the one firefighter method. Skill Sheet 13-18, Operate a large hose line for exposure protection using the one firefighter method. Skill Sheet 13-19, Operate a large hose line using the two firefighter method. Skill Sheet 13-20, Deploy and operate a master stream device. Fire hose carries water from the hydrant or water source to the pumper/quint and then to the fire. Supply hoses transfer the water from its source to an apparatus fire pump. The pump controls the pressure and forwards the water through attack hose lines to where it is needed. Nozzles create hose streams to apply the water to the fire to accomplish extinguishment. This chapter describes the background and skill knowledge you will need to learn about. Supplying water. Deploying hose. Advancing hose lines. Hose streams and nozzles. Applying hose streams. Note, NFPA 1001 uses the term fire stream to refer to a stream of water produced from a hose. IFSTA uses the term hose stream. The two terms should be considered interchangeable. Now what? Let's get learning. Lesson 1. Outcomes. Describe methods of supplying water for firefighting operations. Supplying water. Water is easily stored and can be transferred over large distances in well-designed distribution systems. Familiarize yourself with the types of water supply distribution systems in your community. This section provides the knowledge and skills needed to connect to water supplies, fire hydrants, and mobile water supplies. Fire hydrants, although the initial source of water that firefighters may use is the water tank on their pumper, the most dependable sources are fire hydrants near the incident. Fire hydrants can provide a consistent volume of water under constant pressure, Figure 13.1. However, hydrants and water supply systems can fail. When hydrants fail to provide sufficient volume or pressure, it is necessary to select an alternative water supply. Failures or reduction in water supply, volume, or pressure from hydrants can result from damaged hydrant valves and connections, broken water mains, greater demand than the system can provide, hydrants located on dead-end water mains, closed isolation valves, restricted mains, pipes or hydrants that are frozen. Because hydrants are a basic tool used in firefighting, you must know hydrant types, markings, use, inspections, and maintenance. Hydrant testing may be performed by firefighters, inspectors, water department personnel, or private contractors. In general, fire hydrant bonnets, barrels, and foot pieces are made of cast iron. The internal working parts are usually made of bronze. Valve facings may be made of rubber, leather, or composite materials. The primary types of fire hydrants used in North America are dry barrel and wet barrel. While they serve the same purpose, their designs and operating principles differ considerably. Regardless of the location, design, or type, hydrant discharge outlets are considered standard if they contain the following two components: at least one large, 4 or 41/2 inch, 100 mm or 115 mm, outlet often referred to as the pumper outlet nozzle or steamer connection; two hose outlet nozzles for 21/2 inch, 65 mm, couplings. Hydrant specifications require a 5-inch, 125 mm, valve opening for standard three-way hydrants and a 6-inch, 150 mm, connection to the water main. The male threads on all hydrant discharge outlets must conform to the female hose couplings that the local fire department uses. NFPA 1963, Standard for Fire Hose Connections, sets regulations for the number of threads per inch and the outside diameter of the male thread. Dry barrel hydrants. Designed for use in climates with freezing temperatures, the main control valve of the dry barrel hydrant is located at the base or foot of the hydrant below the frost line, and it has an isolation valve on the distribution line, figure 13.2. The stem nut used to open and close the control valve is on top of the hydrant. Water is only allowed into the hydrant and the stem nut is operated. Any water remaining in a closed dry barrel hydrant drains through a small drain valve that opens at the bottom of the hydrant when the main valve approaches a closed position. Turning the stem in a counterclockwise direction opens the valve. Turning the stem in a clockwise direction closes the valve. Wet barrel hydrants. Wet barrel hydrants have water in the hydrant at all times, figure 13.3. These hydrants are usually installed in climates without prolonged periods of sub-freezing weather. Horizontal compression valves are usually at each outlet, but there may be another control valve in the top of the hydrant to control the water flow to all outlets. Out-of-service hydrants. When a hydrant is taken out of service, the water department or fire department should take the following actions. Place out-of-service tags or devices on the hydrant. Notify fire station personnel within the response district the hydrant serves that it is out of service and approximately when it will return to service. Notify hydrant repair personnel. If water is seen bubbling up out of the ground at the base of a dry barrel hydrant when the hydrant is fully open, a broken component in the hydrant barrel is allowing water to get past the drain opening. This hydrant should be reported to the water authority that will mark it out of service until it is repaired. Other reasons for a hydrant to be out of service may include damage to the hydrant, water system piping, or pump that support that location; repairs or upgrades being performed on the water system; obstructions placed within the hydrant; a frozen hydrant during extreme cold temperatures. Fire hydrant connection tools. Firefighters use a variety of tools when making fire hydrant connections, including, figure 13.4. Spanner wrenches. Hydrant wrenches. Rubber mallets. Gate valves. Hydrant valves. Some of the most common tools used to tighten or loosen hose couplings include the spanner wrench, hydrant wrench, and the rubber mallet. Hydrant wrenches are primarily used to remove discharge caps from fire hydrant outlets and to open fire hydrant valves. The hydrant wrench has a pentagonal opening in its head that fits most standard fire hydrant operating nuts. The lever handle may be threaded into the operating head to make it adjustable, or the head and handle may be the ratchet type. The head may be equipped with a spanner to help make or break coupling connections. A rubber mallet can be used to tighten or loosen hose couplings. Striking the lugs with a rubber mallet makes it easier for firefighters to achieve an airtight connection. Fire hydrant connections. According to NFPA standards, personnel should operate and inspect fire hydrants at least once a year to verify reliable function and address needed repairs. You must know how to operate fire hydrants in order to provide water through hoses for fire suppression operations. Flow water from hydrant discharge openings to flush sediment. Perform periodic inspections. Ensure proper operation of valves and caps. Assist in flow tests. Considerations for wet and dry barrel hydrants. All hydrants must be opened and closed slowly to prevent damage to fire hose, hydrants, and other equipment, or injury to firefighters, figure 13.6. Opening a hydrant too fast may cause the connected fire hose to flail uncontrollably as water pressure straightens the hose. Closing a hydrant too fast may cause a surge in pressure, water hammer, within the water supply system, which can damage the system piping or appliances attached to the system such as water heaters in adjacent residences. Skill Sheet 13-1 provides the steps for connecting soft-sleeve suction and hard suction hoses. Considerations specific to dry barrel hydrants. To prevent freezing, the dry barrel hydrant main valve is located underground below the frost line. Normally, the hydrant barrel from the top of the stem down to the main valve is empty. This prevents water in the barrel from freezing during extended periods of sub-freezing temperatures. When the stem nut is turned counterclockwise, the main valve moves down and allows water to flow into the hydrant. As the main valve moves down, a drain valve plate attached to the stem closes a drain hole located near the bottom of the hydrant, but allows water to flow past it into the hydrant barrel. Slowly turning the stem nut clockwise shuts down the hydrant. The main valve rises and shuts off the flow of water into the hydrant barrel. At the same time, the drain valve plate rises, opening the drain hole. The remaining water in the hydrant barrel empties through the drain hole. Additional precautions should be taken when operating dry barrel hydrants in areas where sub-freezing weather is common. If a dry barrel hydrant is not opened fully, the drain may be left partially open. The resulting flow through the drain hole can erode the soil around the base of the hydrant. Over time, this erosion can destroy the hydrant support and cause it to leak badly. This can put the hydrant out of service and necessitate it being reinstalled. Therefore, dry barrel hydrants should be either completely open or completely closed. When a dry barrel hydrant is shut down, verify that the water in the hydrant barrel is draining out. To test the water level, take the following steps. Turn the stem nut clockwise until resistance is felt to close the main valve, then turn it a quarter turn counterclockwise. Cap all discharges except one. Place the palm of one hand over the open discharge. If the hydrant is draining, a slight vacuum should be felt pulling the palm toward the discharge. If this vacuum is not felt, repeat the entire process and try again. If the hydrant still is not draining, the drain hole is probably plugged. Notify the water authority and have them inspect the hydrant. If this occurs in winter, the hydrant must be pumped until empty to prevent the water from freezing in the barrel before the hydrant is repaired or replaced. Soft intake connections. Connecting the pumper to the hydrant with a soft suction hose was described in Chapter 12, Fire Hose. However, not all hydrants have large steamer outlets capable of accepting direct connections from soft intake hose. Operations on hydrants equipped with 2 21/2 inch, 65 millimeters, outlets require the use of 2 21/2 or 3 inch, 65 millimeters or 77 millimeters, hose lines, figure 13.7 and P594. These smaller intake hoses can be connected to a Siamese at the pump. It is more efficient to connect a 41/2 inch, 115 millimeters, or larger intake hose to a hydrant with only 21/2 inch, 65 millimeters, outlets. That connection is made by connecting a 41/2 inch, 115 millimeters, hose, or whatever size intake hose coupling is used, to a 21/2 inch, 65 millimeters, reducer coupling. Hard intake connections for dry barrel hydrants. Connecting a pumper to a fire hydrant using hard intake hose requires coordination and teamwork because more people are needed to connect hard intake hose than are needed to connect soft intake hose. Making hydrant connections with some types of hard intake hose is also considerably more difficult than making connections with a soft intake hose. The first aspect that is important is the positioning of the pumper in relation to the hydrant. No definite rule can be given to determine this distance because not all hydrants are the same distance from the curb or road edge, and the hydrant outlet may not directly face the street or road. While most apparatus have pump intakes on both sides, others may have one at the front or rear. It is considered good policy to stop the apparatus with the intake of choice just in front of the hydrant outlet, figure 13.8. Depending on local protocols, the hard intake hose may be connected to either the apparatus or the hydrant first when making hydrant connections. Note, if the hard intake is marked for vacuum use only, do not use it for hydrant connections and pressurized systems. This type of hard intake is only for drafting operations from a static source. Mobile water supply operations. Many rural areas lack public water distribution systems, or they have systems with inadequate volume and pressure for firefighting operations. In those areas, rural water supply operations must be performed. Two common operations are water shuttle operations and relay pumping. For these operations to succeed, pre-incident planning and frequent practice are required. The following sections briefly explain each of these operations. For additional information on rural water supply operations, see the IFSTA Pumping Apparatus Driver/Operator Handbook and NFPA 1142, Standard on Water Supplies for Suburban and Rural Firefighting. Static water sources. Static water supplies or sources are those that may be accessed through drafting. Static water sources may include, figure 13.9. Lakes. Ponds. Rivers. Swimming pools. Large above-ground animal watering tanks. Portable water tanks. Note. Some static water sources are equipped with a dry hydrant connection that allows the pumping apparatus to draw/draft water from the lowest point of the water source. Vehicle access and drafting capability are critical in using static water sources. If the water source is inaccessible or the ground around the water source will not safely support the pumping apparatus, then it will not work as a static water source. Skill Sheet 13-2 describes the process of connecting and placing a hard suction hose for drafting from a static water source. Intake strainers. Intake strainers are attached to the drafting end of a hard suction hose when pumping from a static water source. They are designed to keep debris from entering the apparatus or portable pump. Such debris can either damage the pump or pass through it to clog the nozzle. Intake strainers must not rest on the bottom of a static water source except when the bottom is clean and hard, such as the bottom of a swimming pool. To prevent a strainer from resting on the bottom of a lake or pond, tie one end of a length of rope to the eyelet on the strainer and the other to an apparatus or another anchor point. Floating intake strainers are also available to keep the intake strainer off the bottom of a static water source. Water shuttle operations. Water shuttle operations involve hauling water from a supply source, fill site, to the incident scene. The water is then transferred to an attack pumper's tank or to portable tanks, dump sites, from which water may be drawn to fight a fire. There are three key components to water shuttle operations, figure 13.10. Dump site at the fire. Fill site at the water source. Mobile water supply apparatus to haul water from the fill site to the dump site. The dump site is generally located near the fire or incident. It usually consists of one or more portable water tanks into which mobile water supply apparatus deposit water before returning to the fill site. Apparatus attacking the fire may draft directly from the portable tanks, or other apparatus may draft from the tanks and supply the attack apparatus, figure 13.11. Low-level intake devices and floating strainers permit use of most of the water in the portable reservoir. With some special exceptions, there are two. One is the collapsible or folding style that uses a square metal frame and a synthetic or canvas duct liner. Another style is a round, self-supporting synthetic tank with a floating collar that rises as the tank is filled, Figure 13.12. These frameless portable tanks are widely used in wildland fire fighting operations. Before opening a portable tank, a salvage cover or heavy tarp should be spread on the ground to protect the tank's liner once water is dumped into it. When the situation permits, portable tanks should be as level as possible to ensure maximum capacity. The tank should be positioned in a location that allows easy access from multiple directions but does not inhibit access of other apparatus to the fire scene. The tank discharge outlet should be on the downhill side to allow for easy draining after operations. Portable tanks should be set up so that more than one mobile water supply apparatus can offload at the same time. Ensure that the drain is located on the downhill side of the tank and away from the drafting tank. After use, the tarps, tanks, and siphons will be wet and dirty. They must be cleaned and dried before storage. Consult Skill Sheet 13-3 for the steps in deploying a portable water tank. When large quantities of water must be maintained, multiple portable tanks get set up. One portable tank is used for the attack pumper, while the mobile water supply apparatus dump into the other tanks. When two portable tanks are used, they can be interconnected through their drain fittings. If multiple portable tanks are needed, jet siphon devices can be used to transfer water from one tank to another, figure 13.13. A jet siphon uses a 11/2 inch, 38 millimeters, discharge line connected to the siphon. The siphon is then attached to a hard suction hose placed between two tanks. There are four basic methods to unload mobile water supply apparatus, including gravity dumping through large, 10 or 12 inch, 250 millimeters or 300 millimeters, dump valves. Jet assist dumps that increase the flow rate. Apparatus mounted pumps that offload the water. Combination of these methods. To fill mobile water supply apparatus quickly, use the best site or hydrant available, large hose lines, multiple hose lines, and, if necessary, a pumper for adequate flow. Multiple portable pumps may be necessary. Fill sites and dump sites should be arranged so a minimum of backing or maneuvering of apparatus is required.